Makers of Draft present Kitty Keene. The final task of spring house cleaning is usually the dishes. And I mean all the dishes, the entire contents of your china cupboard. Isn't that so? Say, that's a big job. Maybe you're dreading it, but you needn't. Do those dishes the new way with Draft, and you'll breeze through that big dishwashing job with less effort and in less time than you dream possible. Draft has amazing advantages over average dishwashing suds. For instance, what happens first when you start that spring dishwashing job with Draft? Well, first, you notice that Draft whisks into suds instantly in hottest water. And the water doesn't have to be scalding hot either. You can wash those innumerable plates and platters and glasses and cups in warm water. That's easy on your hands. And save the scalding water for rinsing. All right. There's one big advantage right there. And here's another. When you turn to Draft, you won't have to dry that big pile of dishes. Amazing? Yes, it certainly is. And yet one trial will show you it's true. You see, Draft is the first sud that does not form hard water scum. And it's this gummy clinging scum that's so hard to rinse off that must usually be polished off with a tea towel. And since Draft does not make scum, you don't have to dry the dishes. Just a hot rinse and they dry by themselves, free from streaks or spots. So when you do your big spring dishwashing job, use Draft. And while your dishes are drying without toweling, use the same miracle suds for the woodwork inside your china cupboard. And by the time you're through with that, your dishes will be all dry, shining and immaculate. The final perfect touch of your spring-cleaned household. So look for the green and black package today, or ask your dealer for Draft by name, spelled D-R-E-F-T. And now, Kitty Keene. Yesterday, Jill told her story to a skeptical grand jury. But before any indictment could be voted, ordering Jill to trial as a confidential bookkeeper for Ramone's gang, Kitty, her eyes blazing, rose to her feet, demanded that she be allowed to speak. Now it is a moment later, and the grand jury chamber is in an uproar. Just listen.
But I tell you that Jill is innocent. Kitty, maybe you shouldn't have tried to say anything. I'm frightened.
Don't be, honey, and don't let yourself get excited. Be quiet down just a moment.
Most of the crowd in here are witnesses. People whom Ramone's robbed and tortured. People who've lost their loved ones to him.
So much the better. I want them to hear what I have to say. He'll be quiet again in just a minute.
Quite a demonstration you started, Miss Keene.
I had no idea this would happen. You know that. Just that everyone's nerves are so on edge that they exploded when I set off the spark. I still want to talk to the gentleman of the grand jury, and I intend to.
Just as you say, Miss Keene, we certainly owe you that much.
Now, Joe, dear, don't worry. The grand jury isn't going to indict you.
But how do you know, Mother? The foreman thinks I'm guilty.
Then Mr. Anderson is going to change his mind. I've fought greater odds than this and won. And I mean to win this fight.
Now, please, everyone, there'll be no more demonstrations.
Now, we are agreed that Alibi Ramone is guilty on all counts as charged, and that all known members of his criminal combine must be tried with him. But Miss Keene certainly has distinguished herself in smashing the rackets and enabling us to secure this invaluable evidence against Ramone. And if she asked to speak in her daughter's defense, I, for one, believe we owe her that much and more. The floor is yours, Miss Keene.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. And please, all of you, you witnesses and you gentlemen of the grand jury, don't misunderstand this favor that I've asked. No one dislikes Alibi Ramone any more than I do. But wait just a minute, please. A grave mistake will be made if my daughter is indicted as a member of Ramone's gang. Please now, those of you who know me know I don't make statements that I can't support.
Just how do you intend to prove that statement concerning your daughter, Miss Keene?
That will be disclosed in due time, Mr. Foreman. Remember now, I've been fighting this case, trying to smash Ramone while you gentlemen of the grand jury, by your own admission, were totally unaware of what was going on in your city.
Yes, that's true.
Now, I don't very often talk of what's happened to me during any case, but this is an exception.
Go on, Miss Keene.
Those few of you who don't know may be interested to learn that I'm the same Kitty Keene who exposed and smashed the marriage racket, and who in some measure helped State's Attorney Thatcher break up the Warren Powers and Toohey gang. And, just a minute, going back still further than that, I'm an ex-Follies girl. Oh, I've done things which I deeply regret, but I've never done anything of which, when looked at from all sides, I need be ashamed.
But why this autobiography, Miss Keene?
Because I'm leading up to the reason for the opening of my office. Gentlemen, the office I opened to help girls who needed help, who needed an understanding friend. I opened that office to help any girl who came to me for help. And I'd be a mighty poor mother, wouldn't I, if I didn't try to help my own daughter when she needs me. Perhaps more than she'll ever need me again in her life.
Now, just a moment, Miss Keene.
Yes, Mr. Anderson.
Do I understand this correctly? You are offering us your own past record in an effort to create sympathy for your daughter and to attempt to lessen her guilt?
Not at all. I merely mean that whatever Jill has done, she's acted in foolish innocence, and you're not going to indict her.
Well, I'm afraid, Miss Keene, that on the evidence that's been presented so far, there's nothing else this grand jury can do.
What evidence?
These ledgers on the desk right here. Ramoni's secret business records. Why, in these records, your daughter has accounted for, deposited, and withdrawn thousands and thousands of alibi Ramoni's dollars.
As bookkeeper for the Granite Mortgage and Trust Company. But may I ask you, Mr. Foreman of the grand jury, just where you got those records?
You know as well as I do, Miss Keene. You and Lieutenant Jones bought them in yourselves.
And do you mean to tell me that you, an intelligent man, can believe that the two people in this world who love Jill most would ever have let you see those records if we'd thought that she was guilty?
Well, I hadn't exactly thought of it from that angle.
Then think of it now. Lieutenant Jones and I risked our lives to get those records. And after reading, we debated long and seriously whether or not we'd destroy them and all possible chance of convicting Ramoni with them or bring them here before you gentlemen of the grand jury.
Well, in view of the damning evidence that they contained against Mrs. Jones and knowing the natural love of a mother for her daughter, I can't say that I blame you.
Knowing the natural love of a mother for her daughter. What does a man know of such love? What could he ever know?
I'm afraid I don't quite understand you, Miss Keene.
Then let's talk plain talk. Put me on the witness stand. Ask me some of the questions that you asked Jill.
For example, Miss Keene?
Ask me why she left her husband. I know. I should. I failed my husband in very similar circumstances just about 20 years ago.
Oh, please, Mother.
No, Jill, darling, this isn't any time for false pride. Go ahead, Mr. Foreman. Ask me that question.
Well, I fail to follow your logic or your line of reasoning, Miss Keene, but all right. Why did Mrs. Jones leave her husband?
There isn't a woman in this courtroom who couldn't tell you. But men, seemingly, are quite stupid about such matters. Jill left her husband because she was going to have a child. All this isn't a plea for sympathy. It's a statement of fact to show you the working, the reasonings of her mind. Perhaps that's also something that a man can't understand.
Well, I'm afraid I can't, Miss Keene. Why should the fact that Mrs. Jones is about to be a mother cause her to leave her husband?
Jill told you in as many words. She thought there was another woman in his life. And something too beautiful had happened to her to allow their love to be desecrated in that manner.
And thinking there was another woman in the lieutenant's life, despite him, your daughter allied herself with the very forces against which the lieutenant was working?
That just proves you don't understand. Jill did not know that the Granite Mortgage and Trust Company was in reality nothing but a clearinghouse for Ramoni's dirty money until Bob and I told her the other night.
You will take your oath on that, Miss Keene?
Gladly.
But in the light of Mrs. Jones' obvious intelligence, it seems impossible that she should continue in such a capacity for 3 months without realizing what she was doing.
Jill told you the truth about that, too. For these last 3 or 4 months, she's been walking, living in a dream.
Yeah, but it still seems impossible to me, Miss Keene, that despite Mrs. Jones' approaching motherhood, her mind could become so disordered that she would permit herself to become a party to such a crime.
What crime? Ramoni committed the crime. All Jill did was enter figures in a book.
True,
figures
but
of which she knew nothing and cared less as long as they totaled. All Jill was thinking of was that $60 in her pay envelope at the end of every week. The dollars that meant comforts and care, perhaps life for her baby.
But, Miss Keene, your daughter could have turned to you.
No, that's just it. She couldn't. If it were true that there was another woman in his life, that he didn't love her, Jill valued the love that had once been there so highly, that she didn't want Bob ever to know that their love had culminated in God's greatest gift, a baby.
Well, this all leaves me speechless. I don't know what to say.
Don't say anything. Just consult the other gentlemen of the grand jury. That's all I ask. Tell me whether you're going to make a blind, stupid mistake or whether...
Those are strong words, Miss King.
Perhaps they are, but they're just the way I feel about this. You know now what Jill's been through and what she's facing, and I'm not going to have her tortured anymore.
But, Miss King...
I asked you to consult your fellow jury members, Mr. Anderson. You can vote whether or not to indict her without moving from your chairs.
That's very true,
and that's just what I want you to do right now. I'm speaking not as Kitty King, but as a mother. I want to know, Jill wants to know, if just because she's been brave enough to acknowledge her mistake and try to do her bit to convict Ramoni, her child has to be born in a prison cell.
Well, whatever you say, Miss King. I'll talk to the other members of the grand jury.
Oh, Mother, you were wonderful. Oh, if Father could only have seen you. Oh, he did, sweetheart. He was with me every minute. Do you feel all right? Well, yes, no. One minute I think I do, and the next I'm not so sure.
I'll just sit tight, little sweetheart. Bob should be back with Dr. Amber in a minute.
Are they going to indict me?
We'll know in just a moment, because here comes Mr. Anderson back again.
Oh, please, God. Make them know that I'm innocent. Don't let them indict me. Please, for baby's sake.
Well, Miss Keene, I'm genuinely happy to be able to say that after your spirited defense and explanation, my fellow jurors and I concur that Mrs. Jones is morally and spiritually innocent. And furthermore, to indict her would not only be a waste of time and gross injustice to Mrs. Jones, yourself and Lieutenant Jones, but also to the, we hope, young lieutenant as well.
You mean that, Mr. Anderson? They aren't going to indict me after all?
Of course not, Mrs. Jones. I'm only sorry that we've been so stupid as to have caused you the suffering that I know we have caused.
Oh, that's all right. I've been foolish. I know I have.
Steady, honey.
Oh, I'm all right. I'm dark. I just feel out of pain. That's all right. I guess it's just the excitement and the relief.
Well, all things considered, Mrs. Jones, you've been under quite a strain.
Strain? Oh, it's just like the world was lifted off my shoulders, Mr. Anderson. It's... Mother.
Jill, what is it?
I think... I guess I made a mistake on those dates. Get Bob. Get Dr. Amber. Get an ambulance. Quick, I've got to get to the hospital.
So we leave Kitty Keene and Jill, just as they're about to speed to the hospital. We can't help wondering, will Kitty's grandchild be a boy or a girl? Be sure to listen Monday. And look, as I was saying before, give your spring-cleaned household the final perfect touch by washing all your dishes with Dref. Remember, then you won't have to dry those innumerable plates and platters and cups and glasses, because Dref cannot form hard water scum to spot or streak them. Just a hot rinse, and they'll dry shiny, sparkling clean without toweling. Best of all, Dref is economical. It actually makes 5 times more suds than any soap in hardest water. Why, tests in the Procter & Gamble laboratories show that by actual weight, you need less than half as much Dref to wash dishes as the packaged soaps you may have been using. So finish off your spring house cleaning with Dref washed dishes. Buy Dref, D-R-E-F-T, today. Be sure to tune in at this same time Monday for Kitty Keene, and tell your friends to tune in, too. I wonder, will Jill's child be a boy or a girl? Be sure to be there Monday to pace a hospital corridor with the proud young father Bob. Until then, this is Jack Brinkley saying goodbye.
Program has come to you by special electrical transcription. The next episode of Kitty Keene Incorporated will come to you Monday at this same time. This is the WBBM Air Theater, Wrigley Building, Chicago.